Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Wolves Podcast for August 2nd. I'm Tom Schreier, co-founder of ZoneCoverage.com. And with me on the line, as always, is Colt Molesky. Colton, you have one final controversial top 10 list. We all know it's controversial. Don't laugh it off. Don't laugh it off. We know how controversial these are. But first, do we have a Kyrie Irving update?
Well, I don't want to delve into this too heavily because I've got an article that I'm working on that will come out sometime tomorrow. But we do have the statement from him saying that he won't commit to a team long term. He's really putting the Cavs into a bind. He doesn't want to be on the team. He's got some specific teams he wants to be on. And apparently, even those teams, he's not going to commit to anything long term. So a team basically has to say that they're trading assets for 2 years of Kyrie, and that might be all they get. It really seems like he doesn't know what he wants. He just wants to be the number one guy on this magical team where everything works out.
Yeah, I think I'm going to write something on it. It's kind of weird. I'm on a pattern where I basically write either Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on kind of been working with Mike Gelfand, who's a longtime writer here in the Twin Cities, also part of the KQ Morning Show back in the day. And so whenever it gets out, it used to be Tuesdays. It's now Wednesdays because I need so much editing. But either way, I think I'll write something. But the gist of it is they should just pass on Kyrie. I mean, why blow up a like perfectly good situation for this guy? You know what I mean? That's kind of where I'm going with it. I think Andrew Wiggins, I know Kyrie's sexy. I talked to so many people that say, you got to go get Kyrie Irving. Not when Wiggins has defensive upside. You have more player control. He's fine being the second banana. You can go down, you know, on and on forever with that list. The truth of the matter for me it just seems silly in my mind to kind of blow up a good thing just to get Kyrie Irving. But that's just me.
Well, and it's not very often. I think probably the last time you see this is, at least in as far as teams trying to acquire a player, is with Dwight Howard, where the scale of how good of a player they are versus what kind of effect they have on a locker room and what it takes to bring them in.
It's
starting to tip in favor of, no, you shouldn't do this because of the locker room presence and what he's going to do to the team and what it takes to get him in, versus before when this opened up, everybody was saying, you got to go for this guy because of his talent. It's really amazing how in such a short time he's tipped the scale the other way. And it started out looking bad for the Cavs. Now this is ending looking really bad for Kyrie.
Yeah, no, this is not a smart move at all. Very talented player. Love the Uncle Drew stuff. Really fun seeing him be part of a winning solution in Cleveland. Pass, hard pass on this. Tibbs wants to run this no-nonsense operation. He wants guys like Jeff Teague that are quiet and just do their job. Don't bring in Kyrie. Like, this just, you could blow up a really good thing. You got Butler here. He's humble. You got Wiggins. He's humble. You got Teacher's Pet with kind of Cat and all these guys. Hey, don't blow this up. I don't even know why we need to go on with all this. Really, really dumb. Kyrie is not playing this well.
Yeah. I'm going to use this opportunity to pat myself on the back.
Go ahead.
This is why I said go for Kyle Lowry, because Kyle Lowry is a guy who willingly, all the time, lets DeRozan control the offense, something you don't usually see out of an all-star caliber point guard. But he is perfectly willing to catch and shoot and let DeRozan do a lot of the ball handling. Or he can go the other way and be the primary playmaker for the offense. This is why I love Kyle Lowry so much, because he can do both ways. And at the end of the day, he's one of the probably five guys in the NBA you want taking that buzzer beater shot to win a game.
Look, no one outside of his agent is a bigger Kyle Lowry fan than Cole Molesky. But anyways, I think we got to move on here. The only thing more controversial than Kyrie Irving's statements, whether it's about flat earth or not want to play with LeBron James, are Colton Molesky's top 10 lists. We got centers this week, right? I think I got the position correct.
Yes, we do have centers. You are dead on there.
Can we talk real quick before you get into your top 10? This position, there's some people saying it's going away, small ball. Just to clarify on all this, where do you stand with the center position in the NBA?
I have been diving into to center stats, and I went down a weird Orlando Magic back in 2008, 2009 rabbit hole for a couple hours.
It's a weird rabbit hole. I'll give you that.
Doing Dwight Howard research. So I've been researching centers for the better part of today, knowing that this show was coming up, and I don't think it's dead. There's a lot of good players at this position, as I think a lot of people will see, just because there will be a couple guys on this list that people think shouldn't be. There will be a couple guys off this list that people think should be on the list. I think like any other position in basketball right now, you just see the guys who are at the top of it are just evolving their game and evolving how they play and impact the game. And the guys close to the bottom are the ones who are going to look like a little more of the traditional center. And I think there will always be a place for centers in basketball. And I think younger guys like Karl Anthony Towns, those are the guys who are making this position different. And it's not because this position shouldn't exist anymore. It's just because the game is different.
With that said, who is your number 10 center in the NBA?
Number 10 center in the NBA, Dwight Howard. Fresh onto the Charlotte Hornets out of Atlanta. 13 points, 12 rebounds, 1 assist a game. And for centers, too, my special stat, because every position group I do a different stat after the standard points, rebounds, assists. My special stat is free throws for centers, because I think this has is going to be more important as over the next couple of years, especially because this affects how long you can keep a center on the floor in the fourth quarter. So if you have an all-star center, but you can't play him because he's going to get fouled and sent to the line, especially if you're playing a team like the Spurs with Greg Popovich on there, you're going to see that his productivity dives, and you want that all-star out on the floor in the most crucial minutes of the game. So free throw is really important here. So 53% from the free throw line, Dwight Howard. One of my notes, I always put little notes next to players' names when I'm doing these lists for why they're different from centers that didn't make the list. And other than him being just a really good player still, I wonder how many times this has been put next to Dwight Howard's name, but I think this time this is the best spot for Dwight Howard. I think with Kemba Walker, this time it's going to be the best spot. I promise. Kemba Walker, you have Malik Monk, should be a really good player. Just a bunch of guys on this mostly younger Hornets team that are going to really spread the floor really well around Dwight Howard. And I honestly think the last few years have kind of killed Dwight Howard's spirit a little bit. And so if he has an opportunity to be around some younger guys, some guys who are really helping out the offense, then I think you can see maybe a little bit of a Dwight Howard rejuvenation. I'm not going to say his career is going to come back and it's going to be all the 2008, 2009 Orlando Magic wanted to be. But let's be honest, has he been in a really good spot? Like a really, really good spot. He was on the Lakers team with Kobe Bryant and Steve Nash, and it was that whole, we're trying to get all the All-Stars together, and it never worked. He was on the Houston Rockets, but Harden didn't really want him there, and Patrick Beverley just wanted to fight everybody for some reason that year. And the Orlando Magic team he was on, the second-best player was Rashad Lewis. Can you tell me how many points Rashad Lewis averaged in the finals against Los Angeles?
No idea.
19 points. His second best guy averaged 19 points. And after that, it drops off. Nobody else was even close to Rashad Lewis. Rashad Lewis was getting enough looks to average 19 points in the finals.
I literally have – he played for the Seattle Supersonics and not for an insignificant amount of time, from 98 to 2007. Like, I had to look this guy up. That's so ridiculous.
The team, the Orlando Magic team that Dwight Howard brought, and this is a whole other podcast, just talking about that year in basketball, but that he brought to the finals and the teams he was beating in the playoffs. He beat the Cavs with LeBron James fresh off his MVP win. And he had nobody around him. We talk about how Cleveland with LeBron, the first playoffs or the first finals he was in, had nobody around him. That team had a better
This is coming back to me. LeBron. It's coming back to me. It definitely is coming back to me. That's so funny.
Yeah, so I really do think this is the best, getting back to the point, this is the best situation for Dwight Howard. And I think a solid guy who can play off the glass, his free throws weren't great. I think he can probably average more points than 13. But he's just going to be around the glass. He's going to have a lot of opportunity for putbacks and everything like that. I think he's just going to be a solid presence on a younger team.
Number nine,
DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan, for me, just makes the list. He's had 12 points. He averaged 12 points, averaged 13 rebounds, one assist, 48% from the free throw line. I just think he is really good when you're dishing, if you're a point guard and you're throwing down to somebody around the paint. He is just so good around the rim offensively. And he is really good. He's still really good rebounding, too. He's going to clean up the boards, clean up the glass really nicely. The free throws, he has gotten a lot better over the last couple of years. You want your guys, even the guys who are really bad at shooting free throws, to be around 60% is, I think, what is bottom of the barrel acceptable. So he still needs to work on that, but he's cleaned it up. It was actually worse, believe it or not, for a lot of years. So I think he's getting better, and I think I really like this team, even without Chris Paul. I like the tandem of the duo that Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan present, just because they're bigger guys, but DeAndre Jordan's really quick. Blake Griffin is very quick. And so their size matched with a speed element. I really like that pairing still, even without Chris Paul. And if I'm just drafting centers, really like his length and his size down low. If you're going up against a team like the Warriors and you don't have the guys to beat them with your speed, then you got to go stop. And I think he's one of those guys where it's not like you're drafting a Tristan Thompson and he's not going to average that many points. He's still going to put up double-digit points, and he's going to get you double-digit rebounds. So I like him as one of my top 10 centers.
Number eight.
Andre Drummond, the young guy, 13 points, 13 rebounds, one assist, only 38% shooting from the free throw line. But he averaged throughout the season, this was a league-leading 4.3 offensive rebounds a game. So that is over four extra possessions you get a game. And it doesn't seem like a lot, but that is a lot in basketball. And just think, if you're hitting on just half of those possessions, that's four extra points. Average throughout the season, not in just one game, average throughout the season. And net rating is so hard to affect. So when you're getting extra possessions for your team, that's affecting offensive net rating, and that's increasing your chance of putting up more points and winning games. I think that just speaks to the effect that Andre Drummond has down low in the paint against other teams, that he's affecting with his rebounding talent the way and outcome of a game. And if I'm taking this guy in a draft, I really like his upside offensively too. I think he can be a better shooter. I think he's one of those younger guys who he's not stuck in that old way of, oh, centers only have to put back the ball for offense and get rebounds. I think he's one of those guys you can mold to be a better shooter. And he's not gonna shoot like Curry or anything like that. I'm not naive about his shooting, but I think he can really develop a really good 15, 16 foot shot like a LaMarcus Aldridge.
Do you believe in this Detroit team? It seems like they're building around Drummond. Haven't really, like, really bottomed out from what I remember. And similar structure to the Wolves, your coach and president of basketball operations. Do you believe in this? And is this guy good enough to build around for Detroit?
I'll tell you this. Bill Simmons has bought stock in Deion Waiters. I bought all the Iman Shumpert stock. I'm the sole share owner in Iman Shumpert.
Is that
stock.
Right?
And yep, I'm the only one. I'm the only one.
You should give some to family or something.
No, I bought them all from all the family, all the cousins, all his friends. I bought all the Iman Shumpert stock, and I am a heavy investor in the Detroit Pistons stock as well.
Wow.
I really like the idea, and I like this with the Nuggets too. I'm going to confess to you, I really like this with the Nuggets too. I like the idea of when everybody's going small and shooting threes.
Zig when they zag.
Just invest in big guys down low. I like Tobias Harris. I like Andre Drummond. And then they have, I think Luke Kennard can be a really good outside shooter. I don't know if he's a playmaker, but I think he's a good outside shooter. I think Reggie Jackson will do the job until they can upgrade at that position. They definitely need to upgrade at point guard. But once they have a point guard who can really control an offense and create, make his own shot, and produce really good open looks for other basketball players like a Luke Kennard, then this basketball team takes off. But I like the pieces they have around him. I think if you're seeing the league go one way and you're kind of got guys in another way, I think it's easy for teams to panic and try and do some really bad moves and get rid of pieces when they shouldn't, and sell high on guys when they should be selling low, buy guys when they're low when they should be selling high. Just all the wrong moves for a team. I think it's easy to fall into that. And I think the Pistons have really just kind of carved out a path for where they want to take this team. And I don't hate where it's headed. I think this could be a good team in the next 4 years.
Interesting stuff. Moving downtown next year, it should be kind of a fun change for that franchise. Number 7 for the stockholder.
Stockwatch over here with Colt Molesky.
Yeah, right.
Number 7, Rudy Gobert for Utah. 14 points, 12 rebounds, 1 assist, 65% from the free throw line. I really like Gobert, but I had to detract points from him because I really don't think you can run an offense through him. I think for most of the guys, especially the guys in my top 5, you can it doesn't have to be every night, but every third game, every fourth game, you can turn the offense over to them. Even at the center position, you can say, all right, you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to score 30 points, and you're going to have to get a couple assists, and you're going to have to get a lot of rebounds, and you're just going to have to be the guy tonight. And I just don't – there wasn't a point in the Clippers series, and I don't want to dull down his entire season to one playoff series, but there were points in the Clippers series where Hayward – was going through a dry patch shooting, and they have a bunch of older guys on the roster that weren't doing really well in the opening quarters. And you need Gobert to step up, and he never really took off offensively. I think he's a really good defensive guy. I think he's a really good rebounder, but offensively, if you're going to be an elite center, I really, especially in today's NBA, I really need you to do more offensively and to control a game better offensively.
People in Minnesota here, you know, Wolves fans really are going to be familiar with him. I agree with what you said there, but definitely a huge defensive presence. Number 6.
Number 6, I have Al Horford. 14 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists a game, 80% from the free throw line. The thing I like most about Al Horford, and there's a lot to like about him, he's a very good player. He gets a rap for not being a very good center because his rebound numbers are lower than everybody else on this list I have except one. So he only beats one guy out rebounding, but he is such a good passer, and there's not a lot of centers who are really good passer. He is an exceptional passer. He'll move the ball around. He'll find guys in the corner. He'll thread needles down into the paint to forwards, to power forwards, small forwards who are down low. When he's kind of drawing the bigger guy out to the top of the key, when he's standing there with the ball, there were plenty of times throughout the Celtics season and into the playoffs where he was taking the ball down the court on a few possessions. And that's just because he's a great passer, and he led the league for all centers in assists with 5. And he has a really good court vision for a big guy. And not only is he a good rebounder, not only can he score, but to have him be able to control the offense so you're giving the defense a different look that they're not ready for, I think that adds another element of his game that not really any other center on this list has, at least not yet.
Before we get to number 5, I think you owe a little shout out to your favorite app ever.
My favorite app, SeatGeek. I tell you what, Tom, I tell you every week, and I still can't tell you enough how much I love SeatGeek. The best way to buy your tickets, to go and buy tickets for concerts, for sporting events. I mean, here's the thing. I am a college student, don't have a ton of money, but I go to plenty of basketball games, go to plenty of baseball games, go to plenty of football games, college, pro, because SeatGeek offers best, really good deals. And here's the thing I love about SeatGeek as well. We've talked about this. I'm not a numbers guy, am I? Not a numbers guy.
Not at all. Not at all.
Not even a little bit.
Stockholder, not a numbers guy.
When you're looking, hey, I'm a mass media major. What do you want from me? When you're looking at the app, they offer you a picture so you can see the entire arena, the entire stadium, wherever, whatever sporting event you're going to, you can see the entire thing, and they have green dots for when ticket deals are really, really good, yellow dots for when it's a mediocre ticket deal, and red dots for when you should stay away, those prices are too high. So just based on color, you can see which tickets are going to be really good deals, which are not. You can kind of pick and choose from there, and it's a great way to buy tickets. It's a really great app because it's very quick. And I like, too, when you're going to a game, you don't have to worry about losing the ticket. It's right there on your phone. You pull it up, you get it scanned, you're in. It's really fast and easy to use. I love it.
I know you're going to be going down to see your Detroit Pistons, and I won't hear from anyone else that they're not your Detroit Pistons.
But
I know
bad you're, boy Pistons.
You're going to, you know, it's a new stadium. You're already in a, I'm assuming you don't spend a lot of time in Detroit. You're in a new city. You want to impress the people you're around. You want to get a good value. You gotta pay to drive or fly out there. You got to pay for the hotel. You want that value on your Detroit Pistons. And this will give you a display of the new arena. How nifty is that? Does it get any better than that?
Actually, you know what? I'm going to have to argue with you. It does, but just for our listeners. Not for you and I, Tom.
Oh, my God. What is this?
It does get better. $20 off your first purchase if you use the LONBA promo code when you're buying your tickets. For all my listeners, LONBA, and you get a better deal than even Tom and I do.
You know, honestly, I got to tell you, I think you're going to have to bring the listeners out. You're going to, they're Wolves fans. I get it. They're Wolves fans. We love it. This is,
I think the listeners will have to take me out with those great deals.
Hey, even better. Even better. Who you got at number five?
Number five, Brooke Lopez. 20 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. The fresh Laker face. He averaged 81% from the free throw line. Here's an amazing stat. This just blew me away. From three, from downtown for the big man. Last year, he was 2 for 14. This year, he was 134 of 387 shots. So that just shows you, that's a center who is seeing the way the NBA is going, and he is adjusting his game to make himself more of an offensive threat. I love that about Brook Lopez. I love that he's going out there and he's extending his shot in a drastic way in just one season. And I don't think he'll have to take that many shots from deep because he's on a significantly better team going from the Nets to the Lakers. But I do love that now the Lakers know that if they need to, they can have their center post up in the corner and knock down shots. And I love that he's a big guy who's willing to adjust his game so drastically because he sees the way the offense for NBA is going.
Yeah. What's happening in the background there? Are you backing up or something?
No, I think that was – there's something beeping on my TV, but I'm not – I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with the listener. I just moved, so there's all kinds of moving pieces around my apartment. So there's stuff beeping and going off and crazy stuff, but I spent all day. I didn't unpack anything. I spent all day focusing on NBA centers for the show.
I love it. Your TV, I'm sure, is a smart TV that's spying on you and is incredibly upset with your number five center. Who do you got at number four? Let's calm this TV down a little bit.
I love that we're doing this list just purely to call my TV now.
Oh, it might blow up. You don't know. Those things they're aggressive these days.
It's true. It is true. Nikola Jokic is my number four center off the Nuggets. 16 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 82% from the free throw line. He had 6 triple doubles this season. He was one of the guys early on in the season who was running with Westbrook and LeBron James for all the triple doubles in the first couple months. And he is in a really good spot now. I love Jokic because he is paired up with Paul Millsap now in Denver. It's a really good looking team. Again, I referenced it earlier, but one of those teams that is going heavy on the front court when everybody else is going heavy on the back court and going heavy small ball. They're willing to go the other way, go against the grain a little bit and hope that works out. Hope that they're able to out-muscle teams with their big guys. And these two, the pairing especially with Millsap, is really special because both these guys are very versatile, but they're also willing to crash the boards, clean up the glass, get a lot of rebounds, get a lot of points inside, but they can also shoot from outside. So they're not going to hamper their coach by making him run certain schemes to help them be successful. They're going to be able to open up the floor because they can do so many things offensively. And so that's not – having them out there is not going to be a liability against certain lineups because they're going to be able to pair with a bunch of different lineups defensively and offensively.
TV seems fine with that pick. Who do you got at number 3?
Karl-Anthony Towns.
Oh,
the
man.
Hometown hero.
I hear the tweets right now. I hear them.
At number 3, you think it's a problem?
Well, let's hear the justification.
25 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 83% from the free throw line. 62 double-doubles, which I know if you're a big guy, you're supposed to be getting a lot of points and rebounds inside, but 62 double-doubles, that's very impressive.
It's pretty insane.
Led the league in double-doubles for centers with 62. This is when I'm talking about centers who are kind of the new look for the NBA, this is one of the guys I'm talking about. He's able to shoot every shot. He's able to guard a bunch of different positions. You don't have to put him up against the center. He can guard those faster power forwards or even small forwards, guys who move quicker because he is really quick. His first step is really fast. He's got really long arms, so he can get in the way of passing lanes. That's one of the things, too, that I think is underrated about guys who are just really long and smart defenders is if you beat them, they're able to catch up and anticipate what you're doing and then get in the way of what you're doing with those long arms. I really like that about him. He's a smart defender. I think he's going to get smart in Tom Thibodeau's defensive scheme and playing with a guy like Jimmy Butler. But even if I'm just drafting him, he's my number 3 center because – he has already improved so much, and he is just going to keep getting better. He's one of those guys who, if you're looking right now, trying to project forward for him, he's got real Hall of Fame potential just because he's evolving with the NBA. He's not just a guy who's trying to catch up to the NBA.
I think number 3 in the Colton Molesky Ultimate Center Power Rankings is pretty good for a player his age, even given how much he's done in the league so far. But who do you have ahead of him?
Hassan Whiteside for Miami. 17 points, 14 rebounds, 62% from the free throw line. He averaged over 2 blocks a game, 58 double-doubles. The thing I really love about Hassan Whiteside is I think the knock on him before last season, and I'd love to get your opinion on this too, but I think the overall knock on him from most people was that he wasn't a very good scorer and there was only a few things he could do offensively, and he wasn't even super crisp at those offensively. But last year, you could tell he worked on his shot a lot. You could tell he worked on his inside move to get past guys in the paint, as well as his more outside 15-foot shot. So he did a good job improving his shot, obviously averaging 17 points a game. When I was talking about guys at the back end of the list, like a Gobert who couldn't take over a game offensively when his team really needed him to, he's one of those guys who can. I remember there was a few games over the course of the season where he put up over 30 points when the guards weren't doing exceptionally well, when his forwards weren't scoring a bunch of points, where he just went out and put up a ton of points, and he's still going to average 14 rebounds a game for you. So he's going to get over 10 rebounds in a game and give you extra possessions. Now you have a guy who can – he's got the shot – that's only getting better where he can also put up 30 points some nights and average 17 points a night. So he's going to clean up things on the offensive side. Defensively, he's just a force around the rim. He is really hard to score on down low. And obviously with the two blocks, he's getting up in people's faces. He's making sure that when you get into the paint, those are not easy shots. Those are not easy layups up and in that you're getting. Those are hard looks, contested looks that he's making for opponents.
I think the most interesting thing about him is that he played 19 games for the Sacramento Kings at between age 21 and 22. Was not in the NBA at age 23, 24, and all of a sudden Miami discovers him. Especially this being a Wolves podcast, I feel the hate. I feel the hatred just channeling right at you and your new TV. I don't know. I mean, I definitely get the argument for him. I do think that this is a testament to Miami, just kind of the player discovery and the ability to build a guy up like this. But he's an impressive player. And at the very least, you defended yourself well, even if, God, the wrath of the Wolves fan base is coming for you.
I know it is. Just like the Jeremy Lin fans out there came after me during my point guard list.
Jeremy Lin, also best center in the NBA.
of course. Who else?
I apologize for ruining the number one for everyone. But seriously, who do you got at number one to wrap up this podcast?
DeMarcus Cousins is my number one. I'll share some stats with you first. 27 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 77% from the free throw line. Over the last 3 years, his percentage from downtown, 25% 2 years ago, 33% a year ago, and then last season, 36%. So he has progressively taken leaps and bounds from downtown to stretch his shot across the floor. Obviously, now with Cousins, you have all the problems in the locker room. And I'm not willing to blame all of those on him. I think he was in a very dysfunctional spot with the Kings, with the coaches they had. So I wouldn't blame all that on him. But some of that is on him. He had some dysfunction in Sacramento with the Kings, but he is just such a good raw talent. And I don't think he's reached his ceiling yet. I think that there's some coaching that can be done on him. I think that he can be even quicker and have a better inside move in the paint. I think that he can become a better shooter from outside. I think that defensively he can become better and can stick to guys. I think he's got the ceiling where he can guard. He can be one of those guys that guards either the center spot or all the way down to a small forward. I think he has the speed where he can stick with those smaller guys, those more elusive guys. And I just think he needs to be coached up really well. And somebody needs to come along and mold him, because I think his ceiling is a little ways away. I think he can be really good, and he already is so talented. And when I'm looking up and down this list, there are some really good names on this list. But if I have to put a center against any one of these guys and know that he's going to get his buckets and he's going to get his rebounds, I think DeMarcus Cousins has a move that he can put. It's not going to be the same move, but he has a move against every one of these guys that's going to keep him ahead in points and rebounds, all of that against these other guys.
I get the Cousins argument. I would much rather 100 times over take Towns's, even with his faults. I know sometimes he'll say, put everything on me, which is a way of kind of avoiding responsibility, but because he's not being specific with what he needs to improve or do better.
Of the people, Tom Schreier.
I'm a man of the people. That's what the people tell me. That's what they tell me. You don't see people tweeting at me. You know what I mean? It's all at Colton Lesky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to the board right here. I'm just going to the board. But no, in all seriousness, I take that attitude, but it's hard to argue just in terms of raw talent, like who's going to be phenomenal next year. It's Cousins. Whiteside's an interesting pick. I just think he's a fascinating story, and you go on down the list all the way down to Dwight Howard. I think the most interesting thing we learned today, you are the owner of the Detroit Pistons. This is just like, this is mind blowing, and just if you own all the stock, I think you own the team. I'm not a economist.
I don't know if I own all the Detroit stock. I'm not sure if I do, but I definitely own all the Iman Shumpert stock. So I definitely am at least the wheeling and dealing for Iman Shumpert. But The Detroit Pistons, I'm probably only like 70% of a shareholder.
Yeah, you have a stake. You have a stake in the team. Very, very interesting stuff from Cole Molesky. We got a special Facebook Live episode tomorrow. Should be out around 3 o'clock or so. Please come out. Bug Colton. I know a lot of people probably won't be around at the time, so... for the live portion, so of course you can listen in podcast form. Colton, this wraps up your list. You can go back, listen to all the podcasts from here on out. This is kind of as close as you get to a dead period with the NBA, but it'll come back roaring. I'm sure there's more Kyrie stuff. I'm sure there's more to talk about with the young, exciting Minnesota Timberwolves team. For all we know, there's someone else is going to do something crazy.
And we're going to keep content rolling out, too. There's plenty of basketball to talk about, even in the downtime. So don't you worry. We'll have plenty of Lockdown Wolves coming out all August long.
No, it should be fun. Lockdown Wolves, check out the website, zonecoverage.com. For Colton Molesky, Detroit Pistons stockholder, I'm Tom Schreier. This has been the Lockdown Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves. Your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
With the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.